Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." We bring to you today the beginning of a series of broadcasts that we've simply entitled, Know Your Bible. You know, I'm aware of the fact as I go about the country that there are many people who have a desire to know the truth of God's Word, but they become discouraged because they think that the Bible is such a great book, it's so long, there are many things that they can't understand about it, and so they tire and fall by the wayside. I'd like to suggest to you as we come to you today that you take the advice and the wonderful wisdom of David, the writer of old in the Old Testament, who simply said that his delight was in the law of the Lord, and in that law did he meditate day and night. You know, we find many times that people will say about the Bible, there are many things in the Bible that are negative. It's true that God does say no. But I'm led to believe that when we find the negative approach that's found in various scriptures telling us not to do this or to do that, just continue to read, and you'll find out what God tells you to do. For instance, the Ten Commandments that are recorded originally in the 20th chapter of Exodus is a real good illustration of what I'm talking about. You remember those commandments begin by saying, "Thou shalt not." But when you consider what God was saying no to, you can realize that this did not actually advance the life of man. Man was not advanced by committing adultery or stealing or killing. He was not advanced by turning from God to serve idols. And so God gave a law that actually was positive in its far reproach because it led these people to Christ. I was reading the other day from Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24 when it spoke of the law of Moses as a schoolmaster to bring the people unto Christ that they might be justified by faith. So even though the law seemed to be harsh and had many things about it that were, well, we might say undesirable to the physical or mortal man, yet it had an ultimate end of bringing him to a place where he could have spiritual success. We want to, in the next 7 or 8 broadcasts, bring to you in a very definite fashion what it really means to know the Bible. First of all, I want to begin with this John 8:32 that we called your attention at the outset of this broadcast, where Jesus simply announced in John 8:32, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." There might be someone who would be in a position like Pilate from the standpoint of asking this question when he actually was discussing truth with Christ. He simply said, "What is truth?" So I'm going to assume on the broadcast today that there may be some who want to know really what truth is. Now, truth can be found in many, many different places. But the truth that I'm talking about to you as we start this series is found in the prayer that Jesus offered in the 17th chapter of John to his father just before he was taken by cruel hands to go before Herod, or Pilate and Herod, and also then eventually to go to the cross. He said in that prayer, "Sanctify them by thy word. Thy word is truth." And since we're aware of the fact that Christ was actually the Word of God personified, he's telling us in a very definite way that he is able to sanctify us. We can be sanctified by his truth. This is brought out in a very formidable way in the 14th chapter of John and verse 6. That's the chapter where Jesus was announcing to his apostles that he was going to be leaving them. You recall the words of John 14 and 6 that simply says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." I'm wondering, as you meditate upon the three things that Jesus said in the first part of that verse, "I am the way, the truth, and the life," if you can understand that Jesus truly was life, we can see that, and we cannot limit life, we might say, as far as Jesus was concerned, to the 30-some years that he lived upon this earth. We understand that he was life before he came to this earth. He took upon him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. And so he lived a life as a man here upon this earth. And then after his death upon the cross, as the women came to the tomb in the 24th chapter of Luke, we're aware of the fact that it was announced to them that he is not here, but he is risen. He was the firstborn from the dead to rise no more. See, Jesus died, but he came forth from the dead. And then he went a step farther than others who had been risen from the dead, by definitely announcing that he would die no more. He said to Martha in that 11th chapter of John, following the death of Lazarus and before Lazarus was raised from the dead, "I am the resurrection and the life. And truly those who believe in him, as the Bible teaches, can go beyond the veil of tears that's found in this life on to an eternal glory." But I do want to say to you, when we think of Jesus being the way, we think of him also as being the truth. And when we think of truth, we think again of what we stated earlier from that first chapter of John's account of the gospel. Listen to the opening verse of that wonderful writing of the biography of Christ, John 1:1. "In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Also, John later writes in the first general epistle about the way of light, which indicates that Jesus Christ, as the light of the world, gave life and light to the lives of each individual who would follow him. So to know your Bible is to know the truth, and to know the truth is to know how you can be made free from sin. You know, when it was spoken time and time again by Jesus, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear," and we'll get into an interesting aspect of what it means to receive the truth. When Christ stood there on the Mount of Transfiguration with Peter, James, and John, as well as Moses and Elias, you remember Peter made a suggestion. "It's good for us to be here, Lord. If it's according to your will, let us erect a tabernacle for Moses and for Elias and one for you." And then we're aware of the fact that Jesus was truly in a singular position. "For God spoke from heaven and said, This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." But I'm wondering what it really means to hear him or to hear the truth. It simply implies that if we're wise men and women, that we will obey that truth. As Jesus closed the Sermon on the Mount that's located in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, those three chapters, he told a simple story about two men, a wise man and a foolish man. They both built houses, but the basic difference was that the wise man built his house upon the rock, which was indeed wise and sensible, but the foolish man built his house upon the sand, which is foolish. And I've related all over the country to congregations of the little girl who came up to me following a session in Vacation Bible Study, and we had sung the song about the wise man built his house on the rock, the foolish man built his house on the sand, and with a little twinkle in her pretty blue eyes, she simply said, "Anyone knows that it would be foolish to build on the sand." But you see, what we're talking about is that the wise man heard what Jesus had to say, and he did what Jesus had to say. The foolish man heard what Jesus had to say, but he did not do what Jesus told him to do. He became like the man of the first chapter of James, who after looking into the looking glass and finding out what his, we might say, spiritual discrepancies were, it says he went his way and straightway forgot what manner of man he was. As we key in on the truth that is found in God's Word, the Word of God and the Word which came down, which cannot be separated from Jesus, we find a truth that is absolutely necessary that we obey from our heart that we might be made free. It's not alone a case of being made free from sin, which is paramount, but it's also the situation of being free to live for him, to live for him in this life, and to live with him in the life to come. I want to impress upon your mind as we bring this into your home and into your heart that the Lord wants you to be saved from sin. He wants you, if you're out on the bleak mountains of sin today, to know what the truth really is. You see, when we talk about the truth telling us what to do to be saved, it also tells us about our true condition. So when the Word of God is preached right down the line, as the Bible teaches, it does convict men of sin. You know, it isn't the case of one person trying to tell another what they simply ought to do from a human standpoint. But it's God who knows more about ourselves than we do, for he made us, telling us how our souls can be cleansed from sin and how that our life can be free to serve him. You look about you in the world today and see the evidence of sin. the sorrow, the pain, the expense, the regret that comes to the life of many who live a life of sin. The devil has pictured this as a good life, as a free life. And yet we find these people are bound in fetters. Now, it isn't only among the people who go out and break the law, but I remember talking to a man who had been very successful in business. Apparently his wife, as well as the man that I was talking to, had plunged into the social set of the community where they lived. He found soon that it became a very boring life because it was a life of hypocrisy. It was a life in which you simply were trying to outdo the other person, and you were expected when you went to any type of gathering to imbibe in the liquors that were presented until your head was swirling. This man had a desire in life to be a success, but he looked upon this as something that was retarding him not alone physically, but also, we might say, spiritually. And so he said, for people who are living a life of sin, even though they're the top in the social set, don't let them think they're free. And my heart yearned as I talked to that man that he might truly come to acknowledge the truth. I don't know whether he ever did, but I thought it was a good illustration of how those who think they're free are tied in bonds. And those many times who have lived that type of life have those bands about them snapped, and they come to know the truth that they might be free. I trust this morning, as we bring this to you, that you'll hear the word, that you'll believe it, that you'll repent of your sins, that you'll confess with your mouth what you believe in your heart, and follow that with baptism to be made free from sin. It's been good to be with you. Tell your friends and neighbors about this broadcast, and be with us next time as we again deal with Know Your Bible.